Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Freedom Friday here on Montana Talks. George Blackard in the house once again. Hey, George, great to see you. Thanks for joining us for that special two-hour Freedom Friday last Friday, especially heading into Memorial Day weekend. You really made that show. It was great to have you.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Thanks. I appreciate that. You know, it's always fun to do those days, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, those things, and it's a lot of fun. And I did get some feedback.
Did you?
And yeah, from several people.
That's good, because see, I hate being on the radio on Veterans Day and on Memorial Day, because to me, I'm in here every day talking on the radio, talking about news, and you know, it's my job, it's what I do. But I feel like there is such a high bar to give Memorial Day and Veterans Day the respect it deserves, that I just like, and sometimes I just want to crawl into a cave on some of those days myself as well. So having somebody in here like you to be at my side and to draw out so many of these great, we had Gold Star parents calling into
that
this
show.
That
was amazing.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, so seriously, I can't thank you enough, because I really, it's just one of those days where I'm like, man, I just want to crawl into a cave. I don't want to be behind the microphone on some of those days.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I'm happy to fill in for you anytime on those days. But, the feedback I got was, they said, thank you for not talking politics that 2 hours.
Yeah.
And we really didn't.
Well, we covered a couple of things.
Just at the very beginning.
In the early hour.
We did a little bit.
Yeah.
First 15 minutes or so. But they said, hey, it was nice. You know, we love the politics. We love the show. But on that day, they said it was really nice.
Give Memorial Day the honor it deserves.
Exactly.
And it wasn't even Memorial Day yet. But because, you know, we had a special Memorial Day show that we featured as well. But yeah, the Friday before Memorial Day, why not kick things off right by giving the weekend the respect and the honor that it deserves?
Yeah,
yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah. So that was good. It's always good to get feedback, you know?
Yeah.
And I got an email. Well, you passed it on to me. Somebody needed some assistance with fixing up a World War II uniform for someone, and I think it's going to a museum, and they had some questions, and so thanks for passing that along. It was
that's great.
Always nice to help people out.
I hope you don't mind if we have listeners that are like, hey, I could use some help with this veterans issue or this uniform issue, or hey, I got a flag etiquette question. I'm like, I'm gonna go to George.
Well,
George is the expert on this stuff. So
it's funny. I think anybody can be an expert if you just spend a little time doing something.
That's right.
You know, but
you know the right people. Even if you may not know the answer, you know who to go to, and through all of your great service with the American Legion over the years.
Well, that is exactly right. And you know, I wanted to mention somebody today because that very thing. So somebody had called the other day and said, hey, we're looking to help out a local veterans organization, and we need your help. So I referred him to Blake Furman over at Veterans Navigation Network.
Oh, yeah, great.
Blake was an Army Ranger.
That's right.
He started this organization. It's a great organization. They help a lot of people over there. And so it's neat. It's who you know, right?
That's right.
So I just passed it on.
Yeah, Blake's a great guy, and just looking to help veterans out in any way he possibly can, link them up with the right resources, et cetera. So, yeah. And he's a real-deal Army Ranger, too.
Sure is, yeah.
Here is your Montana news. Canadian wildfire fighters will receive assistance from Tim Sheehy and Bridger Aerospace. They have dispatched their full squadron of 6 Super Scooper aircraft to Nova Scotia on Thursday. Each plane is able to load in 1,500 gallons while skimming the surface of a body of water, then drop the water over a fire. KBZK reports that, according to Sheehy, a single plane and crew can make over 100 drops in a day. This is Bridger Aerospace's first international mission to fight fire. The jury trial of Leon Ford has begun for deliberate homicide in the 2011 death and dismemberment of John Kreitz. The two men had argued over property access northeast of Helena. Kreitz's remains were found in plastic bags scattered along the east side of McDonald Pass, and a skull found in 2012 many miles west of the area. KBZK reports that prosecution is using footage from a game camera of a June 2011 confrontation and specialty cable ties on the bags to link Ford to the crime. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather. for Billings and Bozeman. We'll stay with cloudy skies and periods of rain today, along with a few scattered storms later on in the day as well. High temperature readings will meanwhile stay from around 60 over in Bozeman to 67 in Billings. For tonight, still seeing a likelihood for more rain showers, even a few storms early. Lows from around 51 in Bozeman, 57 in Billings. And then that outlook for Saturday does call for considerable cloudiness and some more scattered showers and a few thunderstorms as well in the afternoon. High temperature Saturday at 63 in Bozeman, 72 in Billings. Saturday night's outlook keeping the rain showers in the forecast as we head back to about 50 in Bozeman, 57 in Billings. And then that outlook for Sunday does call for a mix of clouds and sun. Still chances for showers and a few storms, mainly in the afternoon. Highs in the 70s.
At Danny Minhold Chevrolet and Danny Minhold Car Mart 360. See us now at the Chevy store.
15 pounds of minimum purchase required.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here with George Blackard. Go ahead, George.
These between commercial conversations we have are good sometimes.
I was going to say, that 3 minutes, I feel bad. We had a good news report, good weather report in there.
And then we came on.
But you and I were yapping the whole time. We need to, like, not all of these midstream conversations, but some of these midstream conversations, we should record them and throw them. That'll be our podcast extra.
Oh, yeah.
Is the exactly. Off-air stuff. Yeah, because now some of what we talked about during the break there, we could talk about more, and we've talked. But anyway, yeah, it's fun catching up with George Blackard here. I forget where we were going to start after the break, but let's start with this one. So Jeff Lasloffy with the Montana Family Foundation.
Great report today.
He had a great report, a weekly legislative update that he puts together. But he was talking about Chick-fil-A and how now the owners of Chick-fil-A, you know, they were bashed for how many years for being too Christian and for supporting Christian causes. Now apparently they're going woke. They're giving to the radical left-wing SPLC. They've got their DEI statements they're pushing out aggressively now. And so I just have to joke. Remember when the Chick-fil-A opened up in Billings, Montana?
Yeah, I know where you're going with that.
Yeah, the liberal reporter from the Billings Gazette went and made a big deal about, there's all these people. There's this huge lineup of people to go to the Chick-fil-A. And the guy says, I don't even think the chicken is that good. And I was like, come on, man. Like, I get it. You don't like Chick-fil-A because their owners have been Christians and have contributed to Christian causes. But you can come out of the closet and admit the fact that you really do like the chicken.
Oh,
and
yeah?
So anyway, to that liberal reporter at the Billings Gazette, it's now safe. You can now go tell everybody that you love the chicken at Chick-fil-A because they've gone woke.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I wonder, are they going to be open on Sundays now? You know, they're always closed on Sunday, but if they're going woke and they want to please everybody, then are they going to change that philosophy too?
Yeah, I'll have to ask Jeff what the backstory is here, because the parents that started the company were solid Christians and donated all these Christian causes, and now the kids are taking over, and they were rich kids that went to lefty colleges and got indoctrinated. I don't know, or maybe it's a business decision. Everybody's getting shaken down these days. I don't know, but yeah, I just we have to call out the liberal reporter from the Gazette, you know, mm-hmm. because that was just so absurd to suggest that. Oh, because you didn't like their politics, you're going to bash their chicken now too.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. You know, and I don't think it doesn't really make any sense. I mean, they can donate to whoever the hell they want to donate to, but like Bud Light and Target and everybody else, you're going to find out that there could be consequences to that. And what this really is, Aaron, is there's a segment of society that's tired of being quiet, and they're tired of being told what to do. And who to do it for and what to believe. And this is the result.
And
when
who
they
your
get,
kids should do it with. And
well, exactly. Exactly. Unfortunately, that's sad. But, you know, they're getting so deep and so crazy into this stuff that people are like, that's enough. I've had enough. And the good news is, hey, we're getting rid of an activist judge here in town that helps that stuff. On July 1st, we're kind of going the right direction on some things. But this is just the beginning of all of this. And, Target, you're starting to see these companies now. That's why I'm surprised Chick-fil-A started doing this. They may stop. But Target right away said, we don't want to be Bud Light, so stop doing this. We're going to change this. Well, then that made the 0.5% really, really angry because, hey, you're, you know, but it, that was mostly about these special swimsuits and clothing for children. That's
The clothing for the children. Now, the tuck-friendly swimsuit. Yes,
for children.
Well, apparently that one was not for kids. That was in the adult section. Mm-hmm. But what they had for kids was a satanic clothing designer designed all these pro-LGBTQ kids' clothes, and that's what they were selling. And so they outrage across the country. They lost $10 billion in 10 days. Speaking of that, Zoe Zephyr, Zooey, you know, the radical
made the national news,
was on The View yesterday.
Saw that.
And these leftists on The View were just gushing over Zooey Zephyr, who's the man who identifies as a woman, the radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula. But Zooey was up there basically now lecturing Target and some of these other companies. You better not stand down. You better continue to push this LGBTQ agenda. But what I found just so disgusting and hypocritical, these women on The View, Sunny Hostin, whatever her name is, like 2 days ago, she was trashing white women, saying how awful white women are in America. But now she's got a white dude pretending to be a white woman, and she's gushing over him. White women are bad, but if you're a white dude that pretends to be a white woman, oh, you're such a hero.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's interesting. I saw somebody the other day call all, basically what they said was all middle-aged white women, they called on them to boycott this or boycott that, to go along with this agenda. And I was like, wow, they're really getting specific on who they want to mobilize here, right?
Yeah.
And why do you suppose it is that they're targeting this specific group? You know, mm-hmm. If I were a middle-aged white woman, if I were a middle-aged black woman, it doesn't matter. If somebody was calling on my group like that, too, I guess I could identify as that. But, you know, I would, if I was part of that segment, I would be angry about that. I'm like, hey, why are you targeting us? Yeah. Just like everybody and their brother thinks every law, it helps the veterans. It helps the veterans. Quit lying about this stuff.
Yeah, they trash Karen, and then they want Karen to be on their team. You know, maybe you should stop attacking Karen if you want Karen to vote with you here. I don't know, you know.
Located at Dillard's East parking lot off 24th Street West from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Don't miss the fun for a great cause.
It's not too early to talk to your child about drinking. For tips on what to say, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. This message brought to you by SAMHSA and this station.
Coming up on Friday's Montana Talks, State Senator Daniel Zolnikoff getting some national attention for some of the privacy protections that he was able to get across the finish line during the recent legislative session. We'll talk with him about that and much more. Plus, we'll take your phone calls. We'll talk about rare earth mining opportunities here in Montana. And, hey, when we open up the phone line, that's your chance to talk about what you want to talk about. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana, statewide, 9 to 10.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland USDA says American ag exports in fiscal year 23 are forecast at $181 billion. That's down $3.5 billion from the February forecast. The revision is driven by decreases in corn, wheat, beef, and poultry exports. Wheat exports are projected down $900 million to just $7.4 billion because of lower volumes and values, while total livestock, poultry, and dairy exports are expected to decrease by $1.2 billion. Declines in beef and poultry exports will more than offset increases in dairy exports.
Join the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA is the oldest and largest national cattle industry organization working to defend your interests in Washington, D.C. And there are big benefits to being a member. You'll get news you can use in the National Cattlemen, email updates in the NCBA Beef Bulletin, plus big discounts only for NCBA members. Join by calling 866-233-3872 or online at ncba.org.
The Niall Merritt Heifer Program is a live animal scholarship where recipients receive a heifer calf to help them get a start in the beef cattle business and gain knowledge about the beef industry. Youth are encouraged to apply for the 2024 Niall Merritt Heifer Program. Application deadline is June 30th. For more on the Niall Stock Show and Rodeo and to put your application in for a heifer, visit Niall.org. I'm Lane Northlund.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
George, our producer Travis had a funny question. George, do you watch The View?
Nope, I don't.
Nope. I did watch that segment with the radical transgender lawmaker, though. I caught some of the highlights. Foxnews.com shared this as well. Oh, man, I got to drink some more coffee here. I'm like, I was listening to the View highlights during the break there, and I'm like, I'm like choking now because it's just so disgusting. They were attacking Governor Greg Gianforte, calling him a bad parent because he signed some bills into law. I mean, come on. So we'll get back to that crazy View nonsense here in just a second. And we want to tell people we've got VIP tickets for the big Yellowstone Air Show coming up August 13th that weekend in Billings. VIP tickets. I want to tell you how you can nominate or potentially win those tickets yourself. George, got to get your take. President Joe Biden at the United States Air Force Academy, Colorado Springs, yesterday, as these cadets were graduating and then soon to become second lieutenants in the United States Air Force or in the Space Force, Joe Biden suffered a big fall yesterday, but even more significantly, I get it, he tripped over a sandbag is what they're telling us. So he trips and falls, but he really, really struggled to get back up. I mean, he needed multiple people to help him get back on his feet.
Well, you know, I'm gonna tell you how I approach this. Okay, so a couple of years ago, Joe Biden made fun of President Trump for shuffling down a wet ramp when he was going to a deal. Right, it's an incline.
Right.
It was wet. He had dress shoes on. He made fun of him.
And he was doing the airborne shuffle, you know.
Yeah. And he made fun of President Trump. And look what happened. He's walking across the flat stage and he falls on his face, right? So I'm not going to make.
And not for the first time either.
Yeah, I'm not going to make fun of him for falling down. That happens. I mean, I've fallen down in front of huge groups of people before. I mean, so I'm going to err on the side of karma. I'm not going to make fun of him. But it does bring into question his fitness, you know, his physical fitness, his mental fitness, to be president of the United States. I mean, it's just another piece of it, right? And that's a legitimate thing.
But we can be as kind as we want. Even former President Trump, who loves to attack people, he did not want to attack Joe Biden in this town hall over that stumble and fall last night because he understands the significance of when you have an American president that looks weak, the significance that can mean on the world stage. And so, yeah, I think there's our reaction to Joe Biden as a person. We feel bad for him. We wish the best for him. We wish the best for his health. We as Americans, we do not want to see the president of the United States, whether we agree with them or disagree with them, we do not want to see them stumble on the stage literally and figuratively.
Well, for a lot of reasons.
For a lot of reasons. But But what everybody is thinking is what the polls have already been showing is that there is a big majority of Americans who are cognizant of the fact that he may not have the cognition and the physical capacity to do the job as president of the United States.
Yeah, that's true. And so people need to understand that it does make a difference that other countries do see this and they react to that and they do things. You know, I'll remind you though, President Ford was notorious for tripping and falling all the time, you know, but I think he was just a klutz. I don't know. I don't think it was because of his age, but you know, but we really need to take a serious look at, you know, are we going to continue to allow any politician at any age to keep serving? I mean, for crying out loud, look at Feinstein in office. She looks horrible and it's so
sad.
Feel
bad for her. Yeah,
I do.
It's like, whoa,
I do.
What happened to her?
But Strom Thurmond too. That guy slept through the last 10 years of his tenure in Congress, right? But see, the crazy thing is politicians, they don't say anything about them being too old, usually. There are a few that have this time, you know.
That's because a lot of them want to sit in office until they're 90
until they're
as
that
well.
Old, too.
You mentioned Strom Thurmond. One of my favorite Conrad Burns stories was former Montana Senator Conrad Burns. He was at a birthday party for, I think it was one of the Democrat senators, and this Democrat senator was turning 80 years old. And Conrad was standing next to Strom Thurmond. I think he was in a wheelchair at the time, but, you know, they were celebrating the senator's 80th birthday, and Strom Thurmond looks over at Conrad and he goes, ah, to be 80 again.
Yeah.
So we've had politicians that are too old to be in office for far too long now.
Yeah. I think there's a few things we need to change. One is the age. We have to put a limit on that, on the age. We have to, I think we truly have to stop giving, Supreme Court justices a lifetime appointment to the court too. I think we as humans, things change in our brain throughout different stages of our life, and one of them is when you get to be 80, 70, 80, 90 years old. Yeah, you're not thinking the way that you normally would.
I don't know how old that liberal judge Mike Moses is, but I've heard he's having some troubles, and so he's stepping down from the bench a little early. But so yeah, it may not even just be age. There's other factors that could be at play there as well. All right, taking your phone calls as well. 406-294-0970 here, Freedom Friday with George Blackard in the house. I want to get your take on another angle to this Biden fall right after this.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Uncommon speed in the U.S. Senate. They passed the McCarthy-Biden House bill to slow down spending and suspend the debt ceiling for the next president to deal with. It's on President Biden's desk to sign. President Biden joked he got sandbagged after taking a tumble and full-on fall on stage at the U.S. Air Force Academy graduation. Then on Air Force One, he had a phone call with Barack Obama. What about? White House says the votes in Congress and other topics. Presidential candidate Donald Trump called Biden's tumble not confidence-inspiring and pivoted to GOP rival Ron DeSantis in his first Iowa town hall on Fox's Hannity on how long it takes to turn the economy around.
I heard DeSantis saying, oh, well, I get 8 years, he gets 4. You don't need 4 and you don't need 8. You need 6 months. Within 6 months, I said...
America's listening to Fox News.
All right, George, yeah, you mentioned the word karma. You know, hey, we're all going to stumble from time to time, so I don't want to pick on Biden for stumbling at the Air Force Academy yesterday. There was a little, did seem like a little bit of karma to me, though. As I was, you know, when I saw the video yesterday afternoon, my first reaction, I shared it on Twitter, I was like, yikes, because you feel bad for the guy as a person, you feel bad for our country. But the more I got to thinking about it, I was like, wow, how symbolic is it, is this karma at play? Here where look at what the Biden administration has done to the United States Air Force Academy in the past few years. You better get the jab or we're throwing you out of the academy. Then they shove the jab in their arms. They shove the woke nonsense down their throats with all the LGBTQ stuff. And then remember when there was a big problem, George. There was a massive ring of white supremacists at the United States Air Force Academy. No, that was fake news. No, actually, it was a black student who posted the anti-black messages. But yet, look at how they just, before they even gathered the facts, they painted these cadets as white supremacists. So it was kind of symbolic, or if you want to say karma, that he fell flat on his face in front of the very cadets that have had to endure a lot of this garbage over the past few years?
Well, yeah. You know, they've kind of created this thing. It's no longer about national defense and keeping our country safe. If it was, they wouldn't be going through all of this, you know, men can have ponytails and makeup and wear women's uniforms and all this sort of stuff. We've lost our way, and I tell you, it's a dangerous path to go down. But, you know, Barack Obama got rid of all of these senior staff officers, generals, and all this stuff. He got rid of all of them that weren't woke, that weren't following what his vision of things were. And we're seeing the result of that now. I mean, it's we're in a dangerous place. Heck, when you have General Milley actually commit a treasonous act and say he would warn our enemy if President Trump were to do this or do that, he would warn them. That tells you who we have running our military right now, and it's not good.
Now, at least Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Milley and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, they did come out this week and order a halt to that drag queen event down at this Nevada Air Force Base here, because when they were called out on it in Congress, they said, no, it shouldn't be happening. We shouldn't be funding it, even though it's taking place at places like Malmstrom Air Force Base here in Montana. So at least I think they're finally doing something about this. But how far did we have to fall before they finally took this one little step?
Yeah, well, you know, they caught a lot of flack for the Malmstrom deal, right? And at first, remember, they just said, well, we don't fund that. They didn't say we didn't do it and we didn't approve of it. They said we don't fund that. So then you got to kind of look at their answers.
That's right. Or their non-answers or the technical answer. Yeah. All right. Well, we do have we got a couple callers on the line. We'll get right to your phone calls right after this. George, you want to stick around for the rest of the hour?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Perfect. Lots to talk about.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What did you do at work today? Perhaps that's the question your family asks you when you get home from your job. And if you're a young lawyer or other professional at a federal government agency in D.C., your answer might be, I wrote a bunch of laws. That's because the job of actually writing the critical details of the vague pieces of legislation passed by Congress these days is handed over to anonymous, unelected bureaucrats at public agencies like the IRS, the EPA, or HUD. In one of the extreme cases, 3 years after the passage of the Dodd-Frank financial reform bill passed in 2010 to regulate banking, major details had yet to be worked out. Those who passed the law seemed to like it that way. Not having to write the details frees up our members of Congress to conduct hearings and give speeches. Checks and balances? These regulators are unelected. The only way to challenge a law they write is by going to court. Not exactly the way we were taught laws are passed in our high school government classes. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Neither Republicans nor Democrats in the House were quite ready to embrace the bipartisan pact arranged between President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on the debt ceiling. The reason? No one wanted to be on the hook first. This is reminiscent of the legendary Life cereal commercials in the 1970s and 1980s, one of the best remembered and well-regarded TV ad campaigns of all time. Three brothers are sitting at a breakfast table, pushing a bowl of Life cereal around, refusing to eat it.
Do you try it? I'm not going to try it. You try it. I'm not going to try it.
Finally, they push the bowl in front of the most finicky brother of all, Mikey.
Let's get Mikey. Yeah. He won't need it. He hates everything.
Suddenly, Mikey ravenously begins to devour the bowl of cereal.
He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
The taste test complete, they all dig in. The bill is kind of like the Life cereal commercial. Some members were reluctant to vote for the bill until someone else was willing to try it first. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Julie in Whitefish.
This seems like everything is tense, right? And a lot of people are just reacting instead of responding. God is the one that gives us grace. He's the only one that can take a wild heart and tame it. And we all can benefit from some wisdom. Even a fool is considered wise when they hold their tongue, okay? So a lot of us...
I try to remind myself of that one as much as possible. I sometimes forget.
Follow in this man's baby steps, and you too can give your debt-free scream! Dave Ramsey, each weeknight starting at 9 on News Talk 103.3 and AM 970.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right. George Blackard in the house for Freedom Friday here on Montana Talks, 294-0970. George, we'll get to the Target fact check here in just a second. No. Okay. All right. We'll hold that one. All right.
We'll wait on that one.
Okay. Oh, hey, you want to handle that one offline.
There you go.
That's a nice approach.
During the break, though, I did my part, and I had a little community activism going, and I sent the City Council of Billings an email to the whole council.
Yeah.
Because they stopped displaying the POWMIA flag.
You mentioned that 2 weeks ago. They still haven't gotten the POW.
Still haven't gotten it up yet.
Really?
So apparently none of them listen to the show.
We know some of them do, but they don't necessarily like what the show might say.
That's right. So I just asked that they follow Montana Code Annotated 1-1-542 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And display the POWMIA flag as required by Montana law. I don't know why the city of Billings finds that so difficult.
I'll go down to that. My offer still stands. I'll go down to that great Army Navy store, just a few short blocks away from City Hall and go buy them a POWMIA flag if that's what they need. I mean, I know they've taken more than enough of my tax money, but I'll go give them a POWMIA flag if that's what they need.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but come on, put it in your budget. I don't know. You just need a few a year. But they also need to do a better job of replacing those flags when they get faded and tattered, you know, because it looks terrible.
Huh.
I would tell them, don't fly any flags if you're not going to take care of them.
Hmm.
But they have to. It's the law.
See, sometimes I'm okay with a little bit of a worn flag because it reminds me of that flag that's been through trials and tribulations for freedom for this country. But I get where you're coming from. Like, hey, we shouldn't be in a war zone here. You know, you can keep it up if you're a city government building, something like that.
Get with it, Billings.
All right. Well, thanks for holding them accountable. Let's jump right into the phone lines here. We got Mark in Butte. Mark, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Thank you for having me, Aaron. Hey, it seems appropriate to mention this on Freedom Friday, but last night at Butte High's graduation, there was a young lady that was graduating, and she went to a National Guard program, and they gave her a sash to wear across the stage for graduation, and the administrators would not allow her to walk across the stage with that sash on from the National Guard.
Huh. Now, would they allow other types of sashes? Like if you wanted to sashay with a rainbow flag sash, could you do that?
Well, of course, there's always the National Honor Society has their special sashes that they wear.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, and they wear them. Valedictorians wear their little sashes, but they would not allow this young lady who went through a National Guard program to wear, it's a camouflage sash, across the stage.
I guess my question would be what's their policy, because for example, I've been to the University of Montana graduation ceremonies, and it's like, oh, everybody and their mother gets to wear a sash, everybody gets to be special, and everybody, and now I do think our young men and women that join the military are special, and I love it when we do have special recognition for it. But I guess I'd be interested in, well, what is their school policy? Is if their policy has always been, we're going to recognize the academic achievements of high school graduates, and we're going to recognize academic merits, and we're going to, you know, National Honor Society, valedictorian, salutatorian, etc. I mean, I can see if they're just sticking with that, but because I've seen it get out of hand where, you know, at the University of Montana, it's, oh, let's woke virtue signal everybody. We got our veteran sashes. We got our LGBTQ sashes. We got a sash for this. We got a sash for that.
Right. And I don't have the answer for that. I don't know the reasoning behind it. It's just something that happened, and I know it's kind of blown up online.
Yeah.
People being upset about it.
Well, it's a good question. I know. I think it's a great, and I'm glad you raised that and put that on our radar. Especially, I know a lot more of our friends from Butte will be joining us here later in the morning when we get into our statewide hour. But we got a lot of folks that are catching us either out of 1450 KMMS Bozeman as they're heading towards Butte or listening on the app right now. So Mark, thanks for the call. Thanks for putting that on our radar. And thanks for thinking of these young men and women that are going to be serving.
Yeah. Thank you. You guys do a great job.
All right. Yeah, George, your thoughts.
Well, so I haven't been to a high school graduation in a couple of years, but here in Billings, I went to one, and the grads at senior high were wearing their military sashes. So
yeah, some
anybody
schools do
that
it.
Had joined yeah. the military, I saw Navy sashes, Army, Marine Corps, and so I know that at least 2 years ago they did that here in Billings. But you got to remember, too, that a lot of these people, these administrators and teachers at these schools do not want the military in schools. They won't even let recruiters come in there and talk to the students. So
exactly.
It doesn't surprise
it's
me.
It's gotten really bad on that front. Yeah.
Yes, and it wouldn't surprise me that they don't want a student wearing this sash. But, you know, here it is again. If it were the cause they believed in, then yeah, they would like that student to wear that sash up there. If it's not something in the norm, but you know, let's recognize these students for what they've done, their accomplishments. It makes me so angry that these so-called teachers and so-called adults get bent out of shape about stuff like this. They're not thinking about the student. They're thinking about themselves. And that's ridiculous.
Well, and on your point about not allowing access to the schools for military recruiters, which is a good option for a lot of these kids, to pay for college, to serve your country, and to have a career and a job path afterwards. Talk with Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, Elsie Arnson, and she will back up everything that George just said right now.
Yeah.
About that.
You know, I heard a story yesterday, from a very good friend of mine it made me feel really good. They were telling me that at the school their children go to, if you want to be on like the drill team, I think they call it brigade, or if you want to be in FFA, or you want to be a part of one of these school organizations, that you cannot have piercings, you can't have tattoos, you can't have any of this stuff. That's something to disqualify you. And what that's doing.
So would your lower back tattoo be disqualified?
I do not have a lower back tattoo.
That's not what Ryan Parsons told me.
Get that
Ryan
started.
Ryan Parsons told me you have a lower back tattoo.
Do not get that rumor started, man. You could ruin somebody's life with stuff like that. But you know, the point is that teaches those youngsters at an early age that you have to make sacrifices for things you want. Sometimes you do, right? And so, you know, here, you want to be in this club, you can't do the things that these other kids are doing. You have to follow these guidelines, these rules, and if you really want to do it, you'll do it. And I think it's a great thing. I think it teaches kids a very important lesson early in life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well said. Good conversation all around. Let's go back into the phone lines here. Freedom Friday. We got Bill in Billings next up. What's going on, Bill?
Well, you know, back in 2019, I bought a Trump 2020 hat, and I still wear it everywhere. But this year, I'm going to have to vote for DeSantis. And here's the reason. There's only two things that'll keep the Democrats in office in 2024, and that's January 6th and Trump derangement syndrome. We need 10% of the people that voted for Biden to switch this coming year. And the only way we can do it is to take January 6th off the table and take Trump derangement syndrome off the table. If we run DeSantis, we do both of those things, and the Democrats have nothing to run on. They may have to actually discuss an issue. So it breaks my heart, but I got to go with DeSantis this time.
Interesting. All right. Well, great to hear from you, Bill. Yeah, I'm a big fan of both President Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. I still think Trump has the edge. I'd be interested in hearing from some of these people that actually voted for Biden in 2020. I know there's a couple of you that are listening right now that you were like, I just don't like Donald Trump. Okay, well, will you vote for somebody else? Will you vote for a Ron DeSantis? Now, if you're like, well, I just don't like Donald Trump. Okay, well, you got Ron DeSantis. My suspicion, though, is that as much as there's the Trump derangement syndrome, there will be the DeSantis derangement syndrome that we're already seeing out of the liberal mob media right now as well. George, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's not going to go away. And I think with Donald Trump, it's definitely a legitimate point. You know, there are people that are coming out that say, I really like Donald Trump, but I don't want to take a chance on this.
They're worried that he may not win.
Right.
Yeah.
And they think DeSantis is the guy. And I tell you, there's a couple of good candidates out there. DeSantis is one of them. And the other one is, that fella from, was it South Carolina or North Carolina?
Tim Scott. Oh yeah.
He's got a great, message, a patriotic, Americanism filled, message. And it's all about, so back in the day when John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That's the same message Tim Scott has.
Well, what did our country do to him?
Well,
according to RFK Jr.,
the people loved him. And
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's a great message. I like it a lot.
That's right. All right. I got to get to Tim in Billings. Tim, if you can stand by, we'll go to you first right after the break. And then, George, can I share a politically incorrect joke?
Sure.
Like a really, really politically incorrect
joke? It's
your
show, buddy.
All right. We're doing it. We're going to have it for you here coming up after Tim, after this.
Fox News commentary.
AOC supposedly represents the 14th District of New York, but she spends way less time doing that than she does trying to be a social media influencer. That's why this next story is so funny. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
5 inches of rain by tomorrow.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
This week, AOC went ballistic, demanding a Twitter parody account of her be taken down. The tweets from this account are hilarious and therefore went viral, and that didn't sit well with Ms. Ocasio-Cortez. She went on a tear demanding Elon Musk and Twitter do something about it. But the account clearly says parody, so it doesn't violate any of the terms or conditions set forth by Twitter regarding such accounts. AOC should be more concerned that these parody tweets actually sound like something she would put out there. Her complaints are meritless, but I can't help but wonder, given she got so upset over this, imagine how she'd feel if Twitter censored, shadow banned, or deplatformed her on the site as they have done to countless conservatives pre-Elon Musk.
.com/free.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I asked George Blackard there before the break. I said, I've got a politically incorrect joke. You know, it's really, really, really politically incorrect. Hey, it's your show, man. It's your show. All right. We'll get to it here in just a second. But first, Tim in Billings, I think, has been patiently waiting. Tim, thanks for holding. I know we've had some great callers already this morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. So I think seeing President Biden fall again on stage and seeing the likes of John Fetterman stumble through a congressional hearing where he can't even articulate a sentence, you know, that makes any sort of sense. This shows the need for, you have to make these candidates go out and campaign and stump. You can't let them sit in the basement. You can't let them hide away. And also, when President Trump said the 25th Amendment, they're not planning on using it on me. They're planning on using it on Joe. I think they absolutely would in a heartbeat if they didn't have a candidate that was only picked based on her gender, skin color, you know, rather than her merit. I mean, basically they've got that chicken that used to play tic-tac-toe against people for 50 cents for, you know, chicken feed sitting there in the vice president's office. Somebody else is controlling that tic-tac-toe board, and she just sits there and cackles.
Yeah, I think they know that Kamala Harris is an even worse 2024 candidate than Joe Biden. So, great point. Great to hear from you, Tim. Thanks for sticking around. George, if you want to jump in on that one, or I know we still got a few things to get to here. First, on the military. Oh, yeah, go ahead if you want to jump in there.
Real quick, yeah, I think that's great points. Here's the thing. We need to pay attention when politicians don't want to come out and debate so that the people can see who they're voting on. You need to look at that very, very closely. And the crazy thing is, you have the Democrats that don't want people to debate. Nope, we don't want them to debate. Well, right then, I'm not voting for that guy, period. They're trying to hide something. So think about it. The people that are running our country are trying to pull the wool over our eyes, and they're telling us through our faces they're doing it.
Yeah. Man, so many different stories we can get to. I know we only got a couple of minutes left here with George on this Freedom Friday. Real quick, when it comes to the big air show coming up featuring the Navy's Blue Angels later this August, I'll share more details with you next week, but bottom line is this. We've got four VIP passes for that, which includes all the food, all the beverages, up close, great, sweet VIP treatment. We want to give those away to veterans or law enforcement, and we want you to give your nominations. You can message us on our Montana Talks app. I'll get more details on the Montana Talks website over the weekend, and we'll promote it for you next week. And then maybe next Friday we'll draw the winners on Freedom Friday.
Get your nominations in.
Yeah, get your nominations in. Let's see. The Young Marines. I ran into your Marine Corps buddy, Ryan Parsons. He was there helping out the Young Marines. They were doing the color guard for the Memorial Day service at Mount View Cemetery in Billings. And the Young Marines need some backup right now.
They do.
Even though the DOD has gotten funding increases, they axed the funding for the Young Marines, but they're still funding the Navy Sea Cadets. So, interesting story. I've got a full story on our Montana Talks website. Ryan
Check
said he'll, Ryan will come join us one of these days to talk about it in a little bit more
depth.
Yeah,
maybe come next week.
Yeah. Let's see. Also got a great email from Stacy in Red Lodge. So she says both of her daughters wore a National Guard sash during their graduation from Red Lodge High School because they attended and completed basic training between their junior and senior years. So that's pretty cool.
That's really good.
And they actually completed basic training, so they were soldiers by then.
Yes, absolutely. Well. Graduated high school as a soldier already.
Yeah, you had an early start on that 20-year retirement. You could retire by 37 if you get going that way. All right, are you ready for it, George?
Let's do it.
So the DailyCaller.com has this story. A New York City comic brings down the house in New York City with a very risky joke, He was, anyway, let me just roll it for you here.
I'm terrified of the subway. All hell's breaking loose. You see that homeless guy got killed the other week? The Michael Jackson impersonator? I watched this video. It's not the best Michael Jackson impersonator. But then I found out he got arrested for trying to kidnap a 7-year-old. I was like, actually a pretty good Michael Jackson impersonator.
Oh, yo, man. Yikes. Yeah, that guy had been arrested over 40 times, punched a woman, 67-year-old woman in the face, broke a bone underneath her eye. Sad deal all around.
Yep. I'm nominating T.J. Smith for these tickets, so I'll be the first one to nominate somebody.
Send it in on the app. He's a great guy. Yeah. He's a character. All right. Yeah, nominate. All right, we're out of time. Sorry.